Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, or literally Hebrew, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then Jeshua, Bani, Serebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabethai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their places. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Let me read it again. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions for those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy, do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. I want to just share a couple of thoughts with you. I believe very serious days are ahead of us. I believe that 2014 is not going to be a great year. Sorry, that's what I sense. I believe that people are having the props knocked out from under them. I see that all around. I see that in the lives of people in our congregation. From talking and interacting with other pastors, I see it with them. I see it with their ministries. I think about an email that I received earlier this week and a phone call, and I think about a young minister who had someone confess murder to him this week. What do you do with that? What do you do when a woman confesses to being raped and she was beaten so badly that her one eyeball popped out of her head? What do you do? What do you say to a woman like that as a young minister? That was this week. What do you do when everything is knocked out from under you? Because I'm going to tell you, that happens to people. And just because you're a believer doesn't mean you're exempt from the props getting knocked out from under you. But the Bible's remedy for these things is praise. No matter how you feel, no matter how discouraged you are. And here's the deal. Even when God convicts you of sin, as God convicted me of a sin that I committed today, earlier today, in this very sanctuary, what do you do? Do you shrink off and go and say, I'm not worthy? Well, guess what, folks? If we can't praise God because we're not worthy, I'll see you later. And you better get out of here too. Because none of us is worthy to praise God. Not one of us. So what do you do? What do you do when you're convicted of sin? What do you do when you're convicted that you said something you shouldn't have said? What do you do? What you do is you acknowledge it to God. You do your best to put it right with someone else. And then you believe the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is that we're not dealt with by God on the basis of our performance, but on the basis of Christ's performance. And then you praise God. You praise God regardless of how you feel. You praise God regardless of your discouragement. You praise God in spite of unbelief that may gnaw at your soul like a worm. You praise God in any and all circumstances. That's what you do. And if you don't do that, you're going under, folks. You're going under. It's the way it is. You got to praise God. I've got to praise God. I've got to praise God when I fail. I've got to praise God when I succeed. I've got to praise God when I'm convicted of sin. And I've got to praise God when I'm not aware of sin. Because here's the bottom line. If you knew who you really are and what you are like in the sight of God without the blood of Christ, hey, there isn't a person here who could feel good about himself or herself. I think of Augustus Toplady's song. What a weird name. Rock of Ages cleft for me. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. You can't ever get away from the cross, because the cross is the basis of your standing before God. And the cross is also the model by the power of the Holy Spirit for your state before God. Your standing is that you are absolutely right with God, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how you've performed, regardless of your failures or successes. You're right with God because Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. So no matter how sinful you may perceive yourself to be, here's the bad news. You're a whole lot worse than you think you are. And so am I. This is a place for recovering sinners. I'm a recovering sinner. How about you? My sin may take some different paths than yours. And the amazing thing is, even when you're prayed up and pumped up and ready to go and ready to run the race set before you and have no intention of doing anything bad, something will hit you out of left field and you'll respond in a sinful way. You'll do it. Come on, I'm not alone, am I? I mean, even people who intend to live a life free of offense before God and man, even people who intend to live a life void of offense before God and man, are going to fall into it. Yesterday, we dedicated the Boy Scout camp, Camp Attakapaw, that by the grace of God, we were able to purchase about a year ago. And it fell to me to do some dedications. So I had a list of people I was reading off as we were dedicating this and dedicating that. And then I had to direct everyone to go to the lake, which was being renamed. And so I was feeling pretty full of myself afterwards because I don't need a PA system and all of that kind of thing. People could hear me enunciate. And even though for the I kept my remarks very brief because it was raining and very cold. And there were a lot of kids there, including my grandson, getting colder and wetter. I said, you know, follow me. And I wanted to get out ahead so people could make sure they knew where the plaque was by the lake. So as I'm walking, I've got my Boy Scout outfit on, my Boy Scout wool jack on, and I have my official Boy Scout campaign hat, which looks like a Canadian Royal Mounted Policeman's fancy hat. And there I am, and I'm leading the way. And I'm going down the hill, and I'm going faster and faster, holding my hand, follow me, so they all get over there. And there in the leaves and pine straw was a hole that I did not see. Just like that. And I tried to keep going faster and faster with my feet because I knew I was going down. I'm trying to get those feet in front of me, but I failed. And I fell in the mud. I didn't intend to fall in the mud. And I think it must have been Tim McBride who picked me up. I think it was. Was that right, Margie? There he was. I remember little Tim Now he's Big Tim, a college student. And there he was, and said, "Do you need a hand, Pastor Bob?" I said, "I sure do." And I can tell you, falling when you're my age is a whole lot worse than falling about 50 or 60 years ago. And I was muddy, and I was wet, and it was nasty. Well, let me tell you, falling into sin's like that too. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay in the mud and say, "Oh God, I'm terrible"? You know, I felt like an idiot yesterday. I felt like a total idiot. There I am, all dressed up in my Class A Boy Scout uniform. I felt like an idiot. But what are you going to do? Scripture says, "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Tim gave me a hand. What's the purpose of the church, and why does every believer need to be active in a local church? Because everybody needs a Tim McBride to say, "Pastor Bob, do you need a hand?" You see, that's what church is about. It's about giving fellow strugglers a hand to get up. And when you get up, you dust yourself off as best you can. Actually, it wasn't dust. Wish it had been. And you clean yourself up as best you can, and you get on going and walk again. When you get home, you take 3 Advil and fill a tub with hottest water you can stand with Epsom salt. And then you're good as new. Well, sin's like that. Sometimes sin's going to hit you just out of left field. You're not expecting it. What do you do? What do you do when somebody pulls in front of you and you hit them on the highway? What do you do when the telephone rings and some terrible piece of news comes your way? What do you do? Can you get your emotions right first? Do you have to get your emotions all in order before you're going to praise God? I mean, the picture you've got here when you put Ezra 3 together with Nehemiah 7 is it was pretty hard for some of those folks to praise God. If you were a really old person there that day, and you remembered back 70 years before, maybe you were a little kid, maybe you were 10 or 12 or even 20 years old when you saw that temple of Solomon, and it's gone, and the thing that's being replaced is like seeing a mammoth stone cathedral that's been destroyed and somebody's thrown up an aluminum-sided building to replace it. I'm sure that's kind of how they felt. They wept. "Oh no, is this the temple of God?" But the word that comes to us all is this, no matter how we feel, praise God. Why do we praise God? Because as you begin to praise God, things happen inside you. They do. You know, I'll close with one passage of Scripture. Boy, he's short today. Revelation chapter, it's the church at Ephesus. Excuse me. Revelation chapter 2. Let's see. And here it is. Whoops, I'm in 2 John. Revelation chapter 2. Listen to what he says to this church. Page, let's see, okay, all right. Page 1407, Revelation chapter 2. Verse 5, "Remember therefore from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." What's he saying? Here's what happens in life. Sometimes you have a wake-up call. Sometimes it's falling in the mud like yesterday at Camp Attakapaw. Just reminds you what matters most. Glad I was able to get up. Glad I was able to walk. Glad no bones were broken. Glad I didn't catch a cold. Glad of all those things. But sometimes in terms of dealing with issues in life, disappointments, trials, sins, failures, you got to remember the best days of your Christian life. When was your honeymoon with Jesus? Think back to the honeymoon days with Jesus. And then he says, repent. What does that mean? It means to turn your direction around. I guarantee you, when I got up off the ground, I walked a lot more carefully. I repented of my trying to be out in front, even though it was important that someone point him to the plaque. Repent means to turn around. Literally, it's a change of mind. But it's not just a change of mind. It's the beginning of agreeing with what God says. And that means, hey, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. That's what you got to do. Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. And then you determine that you're going to do what God says to do. You know, there's a song, Trust and Obey. I think a good version would be Obey and Trust. See, we think we got to make things happen. God says, just do what I tell you to do and leave the results to me. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent. And then he says, do the first works. What does that mean? What it means is there's a therapy in play acting. Hear me out. There is a healing that comes in being a hypocrite. Are you listening? What do I mean? I mean that you don't wait till you feel like worship before you worship. I mean, you don't wait till you feel like praising God before you praise God. You begin to praise God and trust Him for the results. There's a really weird, I said it was the last verse, I got one more. There's a really weird verse in the book of Lamentations that's right after Jeremiah. And here it is, page 950, and this is the last one. Lamentations 341. Lamentations 341. By the way, in the middle of this awful, sad, depressing book, it's not an awful book in the sense that it's bad, but it's awful in the sense that people were overwhelmed and terribly awed at the horrible things that had happened to them. And so this is a series of poems of laments, of lamentations. We get the word Jeremiah from the prophet who wrote this book. But in the middle of it, there's an admonition to search ourselves, to examine our ways. Look at verse 40, page 950, Lamentations 340. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Kind of sounds like Revelation 3, a 2, doesn't it? Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Verse 41, let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. That's not exactly what it says in Hebrew literally. One day I was pondering this verse in Hebrew and I realized what he was saying. What he literally says is, let us lift up our hearts to our hands to God who is in heaven. Now what does that mean? It means that you can be struggling with doubt. You can be struggling with fear. You can be struggling with anger. You can be wallowing in self-pity. You can be inflamed with lust. You can be enraged with murderous anger. Whatever it is, it's okay. You stop. You say to God, help me, I can't help myself. See, that's the beginning. Help me, I cannot help myself. So it's not hypocrisy because you're being honest with God. And then you do what? The first thing you do is not change your emotions. You change your body. You change your posture. So what happens first is you lift up your hands. Why lift up your hands? Because in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the lifting of hands is a way of saying, thank you, God. It's a way of saying, thank you, God. We do that when we fold our hands together. We do that when we open our palms together, up like this. It's a way of saying, thank you, God. In other words, what happens first is the seemingly hypocritical act of praising God, regardless of how you feel. Here's the question. Suppose we were to recite the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible. You say, but wait a minute, Bob, I just had doubt in my mind when I said I believe in one God. Anybody ever had a shot of doubt? You ever realize that the devil is here? He's always here. That his demon spirits come to church. And they fire arrows of unbelief and self-pity and irritation, annoyance, and misreading what people are saying and misreading people's intentions. Anything to keep us from doing the one thing that'll do us good. So should you go on and say it? Yeah, here's what you do. You stop for a quick second. Say, Father, I give you my unbelief. I'm going to believe whether I believe or not. Say, what? I'm going to believe whether I believe or not. I'm going to tell myself I believe. And I'm going to profess it with my mouth, regardless of how I feel. But I'm asking God for help. But I don't wait for God to help me before I lift my hands and praise. I say, God, help me. Then I act as if God has helped me, and I begin to worship Him. That's the point. And Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41 says, in effect, you've examined your ways, you're convicted. Now confess it to God. Now praise God. And you assume the posture of praise. Even though your nasty, wicked, vile, filthy, raunchy little heart is on the planet Golob or something. Somewhere near Salt Lake City. Anyhow, no matter where your heart is, you assume the posture of praise and you worship God. And then what happens? As you do it, He says, let us lift our hearts to our hands. In other words, going back to Revelation 2, you don't need to go back there. You do the things you used to do. You get up and read your Bible even though you're bored with it. You keep digging till you get some water. You keep praising even if you don't feel it. And the amazing truth is this. If you will deal with the fundamental hypocrisy by being honest with God about where your heart is, and you will go ahead and act on it as if He has acted, you'll discover that He does act. Always, always, always. So what am I telling you to do? I'm telling you, I think tough times are ahead. I mean, they are. I mean, they are ahead of us. We're about to undergo massive change in healthcare, in our economy, and right now, we're on the brink of war in the Middle East like we have not been in years. And our enemies perceive us as weak, which is not a good place to be. So I'm telling you, there's a lot ahead of us. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, as the cliche said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. But regardless of how you feel, if you will praise God, I promise you, you'll be better. You'll feel better. You'll be amazed at how often you wake up with aches and pains if you will have a hallelujah anyhow attitude. Aches and pains go away. I'm not kidding you. I speak of personal experience. So what's the word today? It's praise God. And as we pray for so many in our church who are battling cancer, battling other things, battling bad finances, battling jobs lost, battling the need for a job change, battling family problems, battling this, battling that. What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you there's one thing that's more important than prayer. It's praise. It's praise. Because it's amazing that when you stop and you lift your hands and you lift your voice and you then tell God, Lord, I feel like a total hypocrite doing this. Help me. He will help you. And when He helps you, you'll discover that the joy of the Lord comes. But you got to seek the Lord. And when you do, you'll find Him. You'll always find Him if you seek Him. And when you do, you'll find the joy of the Lord rising up in you again. And that's what you need and I need in 2014, in 2015, in 2016 and 17, in these next years that lie ahead of us with so much that is going to be so different and thrown at us. But if you can praise God in any and all circumstances, not because the circumstances are good, but because a good God's in control, you're going to come out a winner and not a whiner. A winner and not a whiner. Because if you whine, if you give in to all of the negative feelings that you got, you're going down, baby. You're going down, down, down. But if you will praise the Lord, He'll lift you up. Amen. Let's praise God.